If you came to pray tonight, how much do you really know about prayer? Is it important enough?
Amen. Acts.
Acts.
Sacrament we use in peace. Adoration.
Adoration.
Confession.
Confession. Thanksgiving. Supplications. Slight differences there. Good pattern to follow. Did the Lord teach us how to pray?
Amen.
Well, he taught his disciples.
Which we are.
Which we are many generations hence. But do we exhaust ourselves praying? I've heard about a guy in England who started orphanages, probably the late 1800s, I think you know who he was. George Mueller. Have you heard bits and pieces about his life?
Amen.
About his ministry? He relied on prayer a lot more than we do. Because sometimes he would have no food to feed his orphans. Hundreds of orphans that God helped him to be in charge of. And there wasn't nearly enough food to feed them. So he got his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes and he... Oh, that's a different story. Yeah. But he would pray. And food wagons would break down right in front of the orphanage. Milk wagons. God took care of his need and the orphans' needs many, many times. But I think our prayer life could use still more improvement. We're so busy. In the Christian school, sometimes I just stop in the middle of class and pray. Something happens that interrupts the flow of class, and I have to fuss at some students sometimes. There's been only a few times, though, that I stopped in the middle of class just to praise God. Take every opportunity you can. But the Lord gave his disciples instructions. And I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 11. But you've probably heard this prayer. You probably have it memorized. I know raised as a Lutheran, that was one of the prayers we said in our public worship regularly. I don't know how long it's been since you sat down and thought about many of these phrases. Brother Mendez used the acrostic ACTS, which kind of gives us a guide. I know Pastor has mentioned, hold up your 5 fingers, right? Right? Faith? Grace, not faith? Do you know the 5 fingers that Grandpa says to pray? No, you haven't learned those yet? You better keep asking him till you can learn all 5. But I'd like us to look at this prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples. Because his disciples were interested in praying.
Amen.
How many of the times that Scripture says Jesus prayed all night? Sadly, I'd say it's been 25 or 30 years since I've been in a church that we desired to pray all night. Have we lost touch of being earnest enough to spend the night praying? The Lord found it necessary. As busy as the Lord was, going through Luke, now what you have to remember about Luke is he was not with the disciples when Jesus was around teaching his disciples and the crowds that followed him. Luke had to learn what he wrote in the scripture from the disciples. He'd listen to them tell, well, this is what the Lord taught. This is what the Lord taught. And you know what? He didn't put everything in the same order as John. John was one of the disciples that was with Jesus. He didn't put it in the same order that John did. The Holy Spirit didn't need it in the same order, because we have to study each of the Gospels and see how they're the same, see how they're different, and then figure out contradictions in the scripture, right? What do you think, Andrew? No. Don't say yes for everything. There are no contradictions. Amen. Even though Luke says that one of the journeys that Jesus and his disciples went on took 6 days, Luke said it took about 8. He doesn't say about 8 days. But I was been thinking about that this week. Almost gave that as my devotion this week. Why does Luke have a different number of days than John, who was there, and that Mark, who also listened to the stories of the disciples? You interested in knowing what I thought about? Well, Luke, I'm guessing, was not a young guy. Whether he had a cane like Brother Leo just can't get up and walk out the door and get to his car within 10 or 15 seconds anymore. So if Luke was like that, he walked a little slower than the other disciples. It may have taken him 8 days to travel the same distance. So the Holy Spirit helped him to write about 8. You say, the Bible is contradictory. No, because in Luke's mind, it would have taken him 8 days. And the other disciples said, no, it's 6. And Mark said, it's 6. Those are the thoughts that the scriptures don't tell us exactly why is it different. But you can't say God made a mistake or Luke made a mistake. Our scripture is inspired.
Amen.
So just think about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you an understanding. Why would Luke change the number? It just says he did about 8. And it is called in grammar an ellipsis. Andrew doesn't learn that because he's not in the high school grammar. Any of you remember what an ellipsis is in grammar? Do you remember what an ellipsis is? Well, that's the signal, dot, dot, dot. But there's a need for an ellipsis in English. It starts a sentence and then all of a sudden it just kind of stops and you have to put the thought in your mind. You can continue the thought. So if Luke is writing about 8, in your brain you have to put about 8 days. That's a reasonable ellipsis. Didn't know you'd have grammar class tonight, did you? That's the problem when you get a teacher. But what did Jesus teach his disciples to do when they prayed? Let's read it. Starts in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll stop reading. This is a slightly different version than Matthew and Mark have. Raised as a Lutheran, I did not learn this exact version. Instead of sins, we inserted the word trespasses, like one of the other Gospels does. So that's not an error. But what is at the end of the other Gospels' prayer? That is not in Luke's prayer. He ends with deliver us from evil. Mark? Oh, the temptation part too. So we're just going to look at the principles that Luke is expressing what the Lord wanted us to pray. This is the version that is usually not the one that people say when they say, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord had a lot of prayers. And the most important one when he was praying to his heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, begging God's help when he knew the next day he'd be hanging on the cross. That's really the best Lord's Prayer. But people use this as a pattern for praying. He taught his disciples to pray. And what did the prayer begin with? Recognizing who you're talking to. That's where the A comes in, right? The adoration of God. Does every prayer that you pray have some praise and worship for the Heavenly Father? You can include praise for the Lord Jesus if you're claiming him as your Savior. But do we ever pray to the Holy Ghost? Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus teach to pray to him or to the Holy Ghost. He directs all the glory to the Heavenly Father. So as long as you begin your prayer thinking, you're the most powerful being, and I've got to respect that, I've got to think of myself, I'm just a piece of dirt. You know, he did make us out of dirt, the original humans. There are other scriptures that say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so he can lift you up. There's a lot of principles why we should honor God with our prayer. But find a way to give God the praise, the glory. Our Father which art in heaven. But he didn't stop with just where God is. He uses the word hallowed. Do we have a shortened form that we could use that means the same thing? Holy. Good. Holy. Do you stop and think we have a sinless, perfect God who has all the power to just speak and a universe pop into existence? I could go on a rabbit trail. How big is the universe? Scientists try to measure it with light years. I teach science, so I know the approximate distance of one light year. Any guesses? How long will light travel? We know how fast light can travel. Metrics is about 300,000 meters per second. Miles per second, 186,000. Those are the estimated numbers we teach in school. So, 1 second, That far. Well, how many seconds in a year? Keep multiplying. Times 60, times 60, times 365 days, or times the 24 hours, times the three. Just guess about 6 trillion miles. That's a rough number. 6 trillion? Oh, we can understand $22 trillion in debt. No, we can't. That's a value. Our country is in debt. They never would have thought somebody would owe that much money. How big is the universe that God spoke? Poof. Oh, it took him 6 days. Only because he wanted to teach us one day we better stop and worship this God. He gave us a week. He didn't need to spend that long. Honor the God who gave us life. Honor the God who created this universe. And then put us in charge of subduing it, taking care of it, using it wisely. Let's go to the next phrase. This holy God, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I thought it's already here. When Jesus came to earth, didn't that mean his kingdom was here? No. Because God told somebody named Abraham that he better start a family. And how long did that take? At least 25 years. And he started when he was 75. They at least started the timetable. Waited 25 years, now he's 100? Oh yeah, how can I start a family? With God. God helped. And how great was his family? 2 sons. One of them turned out rotten, the other one turned out okay. After a whole bunch of fussing. It still took many years before he had a nation. And that nation is still God's chosen family. That nation produced the Savior that would come, but his kingdom didn't come yet. We're waiting for it still. Amen. But do you ever pray, Lord, come quickly? Several other people in Scripture have. You start getting over 60 and you say, Lord, I need you now more than ever. Some people think that happens the downhill slide over 40. No, I keep praising the Lord and I'm over 60. He keeps giving me strength. But why do we not want his kingdom to come tonight? Because we might still have family members that need to learn about the saving grace of the Lord. He's waiting on the final souls to believe in his precious Son. And then the rest of the events in Scripture will happen. Thy kingdom come. We should pray for it. He told his disciples to. The next phrase, thy will be done. As the students are studying Proverbs, can't remember the verse right now, 6:23, I think, is Proverbs 6:23. It talks about following the way. I taught the students, that's God's plan for your life, for my life. Every day, God has a plan for us. Do you ask God to show you what he wants you to do? You chose to come to church tonight. That's a part of God's plan. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. That's just one piece of it, though. Penny has some choices at work to make. She's got to learn God's will. We each have choices, not just what we do. Who are we going to impact for the Savior? Amen. It's a part of God's will. How we accomplish the tasks that are helping us to become more righteous. Why? So we can go to heaven? No. just trusting the Lord as a Savior and confessing your sin gives you the gift of eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven. Then why do we even try to be good? I can give you two reasons. The Lord wants you to, and He's going to reward you if you do. What's God's will? Just ask Him for it. Scripture says to ask if you need wisdom. Just ask Him for it. And the more frequently you ask Him, probably the more successful your life will be as staying on His will. If you get off track, say, "Oh Lord, please forgive me," and get back on track. And the longer you are getting off track, sometimes the longer it is to get back on track, but you can do it instantly. Just repent of the wrong way, say, "Lord, forgive me," and boom, start doing the things that God wants you to do. That's His will. Thy will be done. Now, of course, the things that happen in heaven are under God's control, right? Amen. One of my students mentioned something, and I mentioned to Job. Could Satan just cause all that trouble for Job? No. He had to go to the Heavenly Father and say, "You're doing too much for that man. If you give me a chance, I'll show you he'll mess up." Well, there might be a chance that Job did mess up. With all the things that happened to him, and then his unfriendly friends trying to convince him he messed up, I think they were more of a discouragement. It made it harder for Job. Sometimes I wonder, did he really start to doubt God? I don't think the story of Job is that clear. So if he did mess up and start doubting God, he jumped off track, but he didn't end there. It's not the end of the story. But God's will for each of us, He's got one for us. We're going to meet different people. We have different lives, live in different homes. Let's keep doing the things that God wants us to do to build up the kingdom of God, to build up the church, to build up our own lives, because He's not going to lead us in a wrong way. We might step out of His will and get in a wrong way, but let's get back on track. Done in heaven, Satan could not do anything he wanted to. God had to give him permission. Do you think God has to give the demons permission to attack you? Why not? He had to do it for Job. It should be true, likely, for each of us. He's not going to tempt us to do wrong. Satan is going to keep trying to ruin our lives. But God's going to know if we're going to withstand the tests, if we're going to be faithful to Him. Just stay true to Him. Because that's how God's will can be done on earth. We can't change it. Satan can't change it. God doesn't want to change it. Because if he had to change his mind, that would be an error. It would be a sin. And he can't do that. After all this praise and adoration, then God says, ask for some of your needs. Do you like to eat, Andrew? All men like to eat, Andrew. Most all ladies like to eat too. So, did you ask God before you prepared the meal? God, should I prepare this meal? You should. Get His wisdom on what you should eat, what meals you should prepare. And then, of course, thank Him for it. But He says, give us this day our daily bread. We're spoiled in America because most of us want breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, midnight snacks. Is that enough daily bread? Probably too much. But let's be asking God for the simple things we need. That's kind of what that leads to. If you'll ask Him for your everyday common needs, then when you have other things to ask Him for, why will He hold back His blessing and provide those things? Psalm said He'll give us the desire of our heart. So, it is okay to ask Him for some things, but don't make it at the top of your list of what you're going to pray. Stick it in there somewhere. Verse 4 is probably the most important for our spirit, at least. Amen. Forgive us our sins. Well, the first time you pray that and believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins, whose penalty is death, God says if you ask believing, confessing, He gives you the gift of eternal life. We call that a home in heaven. We call that the ticket into heaven, and avoids the penalty of hell and the lake of fire later. But what about us who've asked for forgiveness for all of our sins? Do we then start living such a perfect life? No. We're still sinful flesh. We have desires, our sinful flesh. But God gave us a Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to help us to defeat our sinful flesh and do the things that are pleasing to God again. So forgiveness is a continual thing. Many nights, if you will spend time praying as you're lying in bed, ready to go to sleep, Lord, remind me of anything that would hinder my fellowship with You. And be honest and confess it at the end of every day. Plus all the other times that we mess up and need His forgiveness. And what principle does He use next? How are we going to forgive other people? Should we forgive other people? Does it matter what? Are there any qualifications that the Scripture says? Forgive them if they do this and this and this and this and this. No, any sin that somebody commits towards you, there are principles that God teaches. Forgive them first. And be willing to forgive as Jesus forgave you. Well, I really believe He forgave me of every sin I will ever commit. I've been saved 44, 45 years. I don't ever keep track of the exact number of years. 1974, it was October. So, this is the 45th year. 47th. I'm coming, 46th year going on 47th. Or is my math wrong, Michelle? It's been a long time. I've had a lot of sins. And He's forgiven me of everyone. Amen. Don't let somebody ruin your fellowship with God because you're not going to be forgiving to them. Even if they don't mean it. God didn't say forgive them if they mean it. He just said forgive them. Just like you want someone to forgive you. Just like the Lord has forgiven you. And then He adds the next phrase near the end of verse 4, and lead us not into temptation. Do we need God's help with that area?
Amen.
This world is getting more and more wicked. You can't watch the news without hearing all the wicked things that are happening. And you probably, if you've been saved and living for the Lord very long, said, how can they even think something like that? the temptations are growing greater. But if you've trusted the Lord for many years, your faith should also be strong enough to say, I am not going to eat chocolate cake every night. I am not going to eat probably my favorite dessert is ice cream. Half a gallon at a time I've eaten. One of the whole cartons. But for the last 8 or 9 months, I've had to ask the Lord to help me not to have any sweets unless it's a really special occasion. Yay, I'm 6 pounds lighter! But you've got to think, what you were most tempted with, get the Lord's help. Let your spirit defeat the sinful flesh, but ask for God's help. Lord, the temptations are coming. Let your spirit make the right choice. Deliver us from evil? I believe Satan wants to ruin every Christian's life. We need the Lord's help. One story talks about a hedge of protection. Do you believe that you have at least 2 guardian angels? Why do I say at least 2? Because there's twice as many obedient angels as the ones that followed Satan and disobeyed. So I'd say we each have at least 2 angels. We can't see them. Do you believe they're there? That God will protect you from some things that Satan will use to ruin your life? But we have to choose. If we follow his instruction book, God will do his part. And if you want to rely on obedient angels, a few people in the scripture saw angels, Isaiah especially. And then Isaiah's servant saw a whole army of angels surrounding the city of Jerusalem. So I think God is protecting Christians. And since there's an innumerable host of angels, but even if there was just 1 for every Christian, oh, goodness and mercy, right? No? Yes? The names of some of the angels? No, that's a hymn. We'll sing it in just a moment. But deliver us from evil. We need that. And then we're going to do the ellipsis. What was an ellipsis, Mark? What was the ellipsis? The ending of the other prayers. Let's say it together. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Put the ellipsis in Luke's prayer. God didn't make a mistake. He knew we would learn the ellipsis. The part that is missing from Luke's prayer, we would still be able to remember it. Let's pray. Father, we've gone through a very powerful tool that Christians need to live. Do we squander the time we have in prayer? Or is it such a vital part of our life? Where Scripture says to pray without ceasing, our attitude of prayer should be at a moment's notice, if we have a need, cry out to you. Especially if it's a request for forgiveness so that our lives can be purified and have the power of the Holy Spirit to serve you better. Instantaneous access to the God, the creator of the universe, who desires to help people to know him, to learn of his son and accept the Lord Jesus as their personal savior. Help us to make use of this tool. Coupled with the armor that Ephesians were told by Paul, we have all the protection we need. We have all the resource available to live the victorious Christian life that we need to each live as we're walking on our way according to your plan and your will for us. And we'll praise you for the success in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.